Guys, today is a beautiful day because we are doing the ultimate, I would say, one of the most patriotic things we've ever done on this podcast.
Truly, we're back in school. Mm-hmm. It's class.
When you think holidays, when you think history, when you think about just journeys and life, honestly.
When you think marketing by mail.
When you think about catalogs and circling things you want and then those things coming and being under the tree at Christmas or being gifted them for Hanukkah, and you are a girl or a boy or a they, them that's into girly things.
What do you think of?
I'll tell you what you think of. American Girl dolls.
Let's get into it. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Lara.
And this is Too Niche. And today, as you may have heard, we are talking about the seminal doll experience. If you were a kid in the 90s, I can't speak for any other decade of being a kid, but no. I can speak to that of being in my formative years in the 90s, waiting with bated breath for that catalog to come in the mail. And as you said, just circling the shit out of everything.
Circling your dog-earing pages. You're getting into the nitty-gritty of what you need and what you expect and what you deserve and hoping that you've been a good enough kid all year to get all those things. Maybe some of you were, maybe some of you weren't.
I feel like the great unifier is what, in particular, women or female-identifying ladies of our generation is like, what was your experience with American Girl?
I'm coming to peace with my experience. What it's taught me is that I might have been overindulged as a youth. It definitely, a lot of my like consumer experiences tie in tightly to what I experienced with my American Girl journey. And you know,
love
we're
luxury.
Living, we're learning. Yeah. Luxury, I think getting so into something that you have to have all of it and more is more. And I come from a line, I'm realizing this too, of like my dad has a problem with finding things that he loves and like going way too hard on them. So like he collected like trains, model trains for a long time. He got really into Beanie Babies when I was young and
he had
every single Beanie Baby that you could possibly have.
Mr.
And collector's
Shane
items. And talk about a haul. He was hauling beanies.
My dad collects pens.
That's a sensible thing
and
to collect.
The like two kind of like sister collections of that is ink and paper.
That's a cool thing to collect.
He's really into it. And I asked him what he does with his pens and he's like, and the paper and everything. He's like, I write book reports. Isn't that cool?
I love that.
I know. I was really impressed.
That's wholesome.
Yeah.
And it's like productive.
Handwrites reviews of also the pen to paper, like what that's like. He like writes that out.
Wow. He's
just
hauling.
For himself. He's hauling. He's like kind of the haul king.
He is the haul king. He's doing it right.
Yeah.
My dad didn't do anything with the Beanie Babies. They are in a storage unit now.
Oh.
And it's going to be up to someone to deal with them. And I have a very sneaking suspicion that that responsibility is somehow going to land on my plate.
Well, let's hope you find a collector who's willing to pay the big bucks for something like that.
I'd love for the tides to shift and for Beanie Babies. Like, it would be actually a very corrective experience, I think, for my dad mostly. To like have Beanie Babies swing back in the other direction and actually be worth like millions of dollars, which I think is what everyone that got into Beanie Babies was thinking. Beanie
Absolutely.
Babies were maybe the original cryptocurrency. If you really think
That's
about it.
That's exactly correct.
But so all of that is to say that my dad's like consumer patterns I adopted from an early age and like continued well into my 30s. But I had 3 American Girl dolls, and then I made my sister get one so I could have like an alternate fourth.
I think that that's pretty badass. I mean, that was my dream.
It was like an American Girl city. That's what I aspired to be.
But as an only child, I only had one.
Yeah.
But I do remember that day. But I think we should, as we haul the dolls, I think then we can get into who we had. And
we'll tell our stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because between us, we had all of the dolls that we're about to mention today.
The top five. Yeah.
The original
historical girls.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm so excited.
Short circuiting you guys.
First and foremost, we need to give huge shout outs to the Pleasant Company.
Yes.
Because without Miss Pleasant, nothing would have happened.
Pleasant Teal Roland. In 1986, Roland founded the Pleasant Company, which manufactured American Girl dolls, books, and accessories. Roland was inspired to create the American Girl brand because of her long-standing interest in history. A visit to Colonial Williamsburg led her to think that young girls might become interested in history through identifying the dolls based on historic periods. Each doll is designed with a story that places it in a specific historical time period. Books, clothing, and other accessories are marketed separately for each doll. The company's growth was rapid as it added dolls, books, clothing for dolls and girls, and numerous other accessories such as dollhouses and children's furniture. In marketing synergy, her company created stores in major cities, events, and films planned around the dolls and their accessories. For instance, parents may pay a reserved space at stores for American Girl parties for their daughters and friends. Stores have public restaurants where mothers and daughters can have tea and other meals. In 1998, Roland sold the Pleasant Company, now American Girl, to Mattel for $700 million. Based in Middleton, Wisconsin, American Girl reached $350 million annual sales in 2001, and as of 2008, its U.S. sales were second only to Barbie doll.
Pleasant is a genius.
I think, you know, just follow your ideas.
I want the biopic of Pleasant Roland.
That would be so good. Who would play Pleasant Roland?
I don't know. What does she even look like? Do you have a pick?
I don't.
With a name like Pleasant, you can't not create American Girl dolls.
No, you're destined for something pleasant.
Does she have a book out? Like, she should write a book.
No.
She's the original girl boss.
Sorry, Sofia Amoroso.
Yeah.
Move on
Pleasant
over.
Roland did it first.
I think there was some millennial pink in that branding, actually. So that all tracks.
Yeah. Okay. So Pleasant Roland, we tip our hats to you.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Major. A $700 million acquisition from Mattel.
Feels low, I'll be honest, but
inflation.
That's cool.
And you guys, that I think one thing we need to point out is inflation is alive and well in the dolls were expensive.
The dolls were always expensive. It was a privilege to be able to have an American Girl doll. And I'm like owning and honoring my own privilege and complicity.
Don't hate Lara because she had 3 dolls.
Don't hate me because I had 3 dolls and then made my sister get a doll so I could have a fourth, even though I wasn't really into that doll, but needed to be able to look at it and like check in on a regular basis, but didn't want to have to see it in my room all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Just don't hate her, though. Don't switch the channel.
Like, look, there's nothing we can do about it. The past is the past. I had 3 American Girl dolls and a fourth. Like,
she's healing.
Like, I get it. It's bad. Nothing good came. There were some good things that came out of it, but I have learned hard lessons later in life.
But I would say one of the lessons, positive lessons you learned is 4, if not 5, important periods in American history.
Yeah.
So there was a whole learning vertical along with it being super important in terms of style.
The educational element cannot be overlooked.
No. So it was basically an investment in your education is what I'm
exactly
seeing it as.
Because I was a big reader, so I did read all the books.
So should we just haul the catalog? Is that where we're going to haul the girls?
We're going to haul the girls. This probably will be like there might be like a part 2 or part 3 later down the line because there are so many American Girl dolls now. And like we on Too Niche are only concerned with the historical American girls.
Right.
We don't care. I don't care about the little mini me versions.
The Friends of, which basically American Girls, American Girl, sorry, it's not American Girls. some places on the internet say American Girls, and I question their
loyalty, their fandom.
I just sort of have this theory that these girls were kind of the original housewives.
They were.
They were representing, instead of cities, they're representing eras.
Mm-hmm.
They had friends of who got their own time in the sun.
They did.
Later on.
Who would have their time in the sun and then be discontinued.
Exactly.
And they have like immediate warm reception, only to find out about problematic past details that come and bite them in the ass later on.
Classic housewives behavior.
Yeah. And traumatic origin stories. Lots of like personal struggles and problems to overcome.
These books, they did not sugarcoat.
No.
They got real.
They got really real. Okay. So let's start with the original three American Girl dolls, Molly McIntyre, Kirsten Larson, and Samantha Parkington, launched in 1986.
So I was 1 year old when American Girl dolls first hit the airwaves, or first hit the lexicon.
Yeah, I was two, but I believe I probably got my first American Girl doll like around first grade, I want to say.
Okay, I got mine when I was 9 years old.
Okay, I guess I would need to, I'm going to have to go back into like family photos and history and like see when the American, when Kirsten, the first American Girl doll I had, landed under the tree.
So Kirsten.
Kirsten Larson is circa 1854 in Minnesota.
She's old.
She's old as shit. Living in a place you don't probably don't want to be for the most part.
An immigrant.
Like Minnesota specifically in the winter, I remember. It was hard.
It's hard.
You don't want to be in Minnesota in 1854 as a pioneer, just like trying to make it in this world.
That's right.
Yeah.
But she did it.
She did it. Her family immigrated from Sweden. Huge struggle, trauma vibes.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot going on. I don't really recall the books as well. So can you give me a rundown of what her origin story was?
Yeah, I would love nothing more than to give you a refresher. Kirsten, we meet her. She's on a boat coming from Sweden to America. She's going to land in Ellis Island, I believe. And she's with her family. She's like on this like disgusting boat where you have to like, everyone sleeps in bunk beds. Everyone's really sick. There's like water and rats, and it's like not glam. And she has one friend named Marta, and her family doesn't speak a lick of English. And they're coming over. They're just trying to make a new life for themselves. They heard about Minnesota. It's a place to be.
The
farm vibes are good. And they have family that already lives out there. So they're like, we're going to link with them and we're going to start farming in America, land of opportunity. They land in New York. It's really tough. They have to like get on another boat. They have to like get to Chicago. Then they have to get on a riverboat. There's just like, it takes so long to get anywhere that you want to be back in 1854. And on this riverboat, Kirsten's best friend, Marta, dies of cholera. And Kirsten sees a lot of death happen on this riverboat and sees her friend getting carried out like in a coffin, and like she experiences a significant amount of loss. Then they finally get to Minnesota and like they have to wait a long time for her trunk to get there with her little doll in it and the family's quilts. And it's just like every day is a real homestead struggle. And I feel like that's where I was starting to like, my interest was waning in Kirsten's. I'm like, God, like you're on the farm. Like we get it. Like I love the aesthetic, but then I'm just like, can't we just have one nice day where like we don't have to work that hard or just do like farming stuff? Like it didn't resonate with me then. I think now I'm more in tune with like nature. That's where Kirsten was at.
Okay.
Which is like farming struggles in Minnesota.
For me, what stands out the most for Kirsten are two things. Her tucked braids.
Mm-hmm.
Looped up braided pigtails.
Amazing braids. My mom used to braid my hair like that when I was little. So that's immediately
kinship.
I was like, yeah, Kirsten is me. I am her.
Yeah.
And we like I need her. But then to know more about Kirsten is to know kind of how boring she is. Sorry, but it's true. Kirsten Heads, you guys know this too.
She's kind of like Christian Girl Autumn vibes.
Yeah, a bit. And like simple. She's like simple life.
Yeah.
She's like your friend that like moved to the country during COVID and like doesn't have a cell phone anymore and is like churning snooze. Butter. Yeah, it's a snooze.
But like I'm all about a cottagecore moment. So I feel like Kirsten really led the way. So tipping my hat. I also have to say, should we get into the fashions and the accessories? Is it time?
The fashions are good with Kirsten.
They're great. It's like folklore era.
It's heavy duty folklore cardigan. All the American Girl dolls also come with beds and trunks. Like if you want to get deep into the accessories game, which I did for each of these girls, I had the Kirsten bed, the Kirsten trunk. They're a beautiful shade of blue with like hand-painted accents on them. And the quality of these items, I cannot stress enough, was so top of the line.
So top of the line.
And it was like, to have a doll that also has their own school desk or bed or trunk and they have their belongings that are perfectly proportioned to their bodies is like mind-blowing. Like there's something so satisfactory
about it. I think, okay, so let's get into the primary looks here.
Okay.
Because this is really, I think, like my lane is to just judge these girlies on fashion and fashion alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think her meat look, while kind of plain, it's so iconic in that it's a core memory of opening the catalog and seeing Meet Kirsten just like right there.
Yeah.
That I can do nothing but stan.
I know, I have no notes. I think it's also kind of genius from a marketing perspective to have this like girl immigrating to a country and then repping like the red, white, and blue nod of the outfit.
Oh, wow.
As American Girl doll. Like there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Kind of like the subconscious.
And I have to give it up to Kirsten's St. Lucia wreath.
The chokehold that the Kirsten Christmas outfit, St. Lucia gown, and this wreath with candles on
it.
The
biggest deal.
I remember seeing that as a kid and being like, whatever this is, I need it. My life isn't complete without it. How have I lived this long without incorporating flower wreaths or headwear into my like day to day? I believe that this was the blueprint for Colt Gaia's entire existence.
Oh, absolutely. Kirsten did it first.
Yeah. Kirsten was the original.
I'm going to be honest, folks. I don't remember the exact tradition lore, but I do remember at the time learning about this very cool Christmas tradition and like the expansion that occurred for my, you know, young Jewish self.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was like, oh, what a cool holiday tradition.
Oh my God.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I just wanted festive.
A young Jewish girl to see Christmas fetishized in such a way, like I would have to convert.
I wanted to so bad.
That's very rude. And one note is that you would think Pleasant Company could have just thrown a Jewish American Girl doll into the mix early on.
Yeah,
For the girlies to have their like.
They, for the first four launches, it was white Christian. That's all they weren't looking past that. Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, we really have to fix some things.
Diversify.
Yeah, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Kirsten St. Lucia like Christmas look was a game changer. Just everything. It was the original cottagecore queen. And with the traumatic backstory and losing a best friend.
Looks, lore, and story. Well, mm-hmm. I guess the lore is the story.
Yeah. I give Kirsten like a solid B+.
I agree. I'm tying. You know what? I'm giving her a B. I mean, it's the blonde hair, blue eyes, no offense, guys.
You're knocking her for a bit of an Aryan vibe, if we're being honest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am.
Okay, fair enough.
Also, though, really quickly, the catalog shows her kind of like switching her hair up.
There were times when she wore her hair down.
If anybody nose. It was really, once you changed the hairstyle of your American Girl doll, there was no going back.
The biggest lie that the Pleasant Company sold us was that you could do whatever you wanted with the American Girl doll's hair, and like that you would be able to then replicate the exact braids that they came with if you decided to give them a different hairstyle.
They were selling a false bill of goods when it came to, do you remember they had, you could buy like a hair kit?
I knew what waters to not tread in, like had a sense of like, maybe I'll brush hair, maybe I won't. But the one thing I knew for certain was that no hair kit could get near my AGs.
So let me just sidetrack into the American Girl's essentials, which one of which included a hair care kit. This catalog from 1997 says, give your doll fluffy American curls with a doll hairbrush, styling comb. Oh, I'm sorry. Styling cape, misting bottle, 12 hair rollers, a packet of papers, and a little booklet of styling tips.
Papers?
$10. And if you want a hairbrush, that's $5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Spritzing water on American Girl doll hair, is not advised.
No. And then like rolling it into a roller and expecting it to dry. Does that kind of hair even do that?
They were running a scam.
It's a fake thing. Because then if they get you to fuck up the hair, then you can send the American Girl doll to the beauty salon.
Straight appointment to the doll hospital.
Yeah. Where they charge you extra to fix the doll.
I'm on to the grift.
Yeah. I was like, I don't trust that.
Yeah. So I definitely ruined my doll's hair. Can you guys guess which doll I had? Are you on the edge of your seat? We'll get there.
We'll get there. Yeah. This is a cliffhanger moment. Next up, we have Samantha Parkington.
Ugh.
Now, Samantha was turn of the century in 1904.
Rich.
Rich.
Rich, rich, rich.
Has no real problems to speak of. But
except she was an orphan.
Oh, she was an orphan. Okay, yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
So, okay, I take it back. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to Samantha.
But she was a rich orphan.
She was a rich orphan, which is the best kind of orphan you can be. She lived with her grandma, who obviously gave her whatever she wanted. And she had her closet. She's serving cunt 24/7 and living to tell the tale. And she's doing good with the money she has.
That's right.
So Samantha Parkington lives with her grandma, who's kind of like uptight. And Samantha's like more loose and free. Samantha's playing one day and she meets some abused child laborer named Nellie in a drain pipe.
Future friend of.
Yeah. And then she's like, wow, this girl's life is so sad. And she works 24/7. And I, meanwhile, am so rich. So she convinces her grandma to like take Nellie in, and then they become sisters, which I was like, this is a dream come true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about trauma. I'm pretty sure there was a point in the book where Nellie describes a day of working in the factory to Samantha, and she saw someone's arm get ripped off by the factory machine.
They did not sugarcoat anything in these books.
No, it was like this also satisfied
trauma
like I was
porn.
A big trauma porn and like an interest in the abject and like in horror as a young kid, like being into really like R.L. Stine, Christopher Pike books, and always trying to like get my fix. American Girl Dolls really did that.
American Girl Dolls was like a pit stop on the way to like the true crime genre.
It really was. Everything's kind of like, oh, meet Samantha, meet Kirsten, but then you're going to hear about someone's best friend dying of cholera.
Right. Or something just like truly just horrifying that is described in these books.
Yeah. And we'll get there. So Samantha, although she doesn't have, to me, a lot going on, aside from just being the most fashionable girl in town.
I was just going to say her accessories, though.
Like, she...
Her meat look, can we just take about, like, 45 minutes to discuss it?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's coming in with a pristine... Is that, like, a gingham check, would we say?
It's like a houndstooth.
A houndstooth. Okay, thank you. She has a velvet cap with an ornate ribbon design. Also, a bow to compliment her half up do, as well as what is that thing called that she has as her?
She has a brooch.
A brooch.
A cameo. A
cameo brooch. Also,
this, it's like this bitch has a purse. Like
she's got
she had a tiny purse. Tiny little like purse with a handkerchief.
With an embroidered handkerchief. Like the detail, the black tights, the Mary Jane shoes. Like she has it going on. It is enviable.
They knew what they were doing with this too, because it's like, okay, we're going to put out three girls. One is like a farmer. One is a nerd. And this other one is truly, for a girly girl like me, the dream come true.
I think the Samantha girls were she was a archetype.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you had Samantha, you were that bitch.
Yeah. But what if you have all three? If you have three girls? Because you need the balance. You
multiple
can't just,
personality disorder.
Yeah, sometimes it's like sometimes I want to be like down on the homestead with Kirsten,
right.
But then I also had Samantha. So I was like, now I need a bougie moment, and I need to like, we're in Samantha's world now. She has like a brass bed. She has a beautiful comforter with ribbons and ruffles on it. She has like this gorgeous trunk that stands up and opens.
How were your American girls housed? Like, were they out on display? Were they in a playroom?
They were just in my bedroom, like either out or they'd be in the closet.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to like get a full picture for what you were dealing with in your American girl village.
Yeah, my village would include the trunks and the beds for mm-hmm. every girl, and then a lot of their like basic accessories.
Can we zero in on Samantha's Christmas look for a moment?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to give it up to the accessories, which is a gingerbread house.
Oh, I remember that.
A Christmas
house.
Music box and a doll within a doll.
Her doll had a doll. Her doll had a nutcracker.
Which is pretty baller.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, her original Christmas look is pretty snoozy.
Yeah, it didn't thrill. It's just like a red dress with white lace and like a white tight. I was like, I wear this at Christmas.
Exactly. It's giving children's place.
It's not
catalog.
Bringing a lot. After you've gone up against St. Lucia flower
headgear?
Candle crown, you're going to have to step your pussy up with the Christmas outfit. And I'm disappointed as well in Samantha for not being able to knock it out of the
park. It's a misstep, but I think her meat look, which I just need to say quickly on the meat look. In my research, I was listening to somebody talk about the meat looks, and where my head went instantly was the Lady Gaga meat dress from the VMAs. And I just want to say we're talking about meat, M-E-E-T, not meat Lady Gaga, M-E-A-T, just for anybody playing along at home.
Yeah. We're talking about the looks that they come with.
That they present to the world.
When you buy the doll, you get this look.
Meet the girls.
Again, I'm not shocked that Samantha was discontinued eventually, because the sheer production costs of like manufacturing these ornate looks. Like, I didn't even get to some of these later years special outfits that
they
offered.
The 2000s, the millennial So I'm on to the grift here. I think once Mattel took over, they were like, we're discontinuing and then we're re-releasing and we're going to do it for cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Because the quality has gone down.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
for sure.
The outfits and like the ornate details on these dolls was like, I've never seen anything like it again. And now when they've re-released some of the dolls, they have like shittier outfits and like cheaper fabrics. And you can just tell that they're like cutting corners. Don't appreciate
that.
Speaks
to the era we're in as a whole at the moment, and that's a whole other episode. But I will say, overall,
sorry to interrupt, but can we just take a moment where Samantha is failing on the party dress
mm-hmm.
for the holidays? She's giving on the holiday coat and mittens look, which might have been a later look.
I think that one's a later look, because as I remember, the winter outfit was she had a fur muff. And that was the coolest thing to me.
Yeah.
As a young girl in Michigan in the cold.
Oh, the winter outfit and her ice skates and a fur beret.
Yeah.
That fur muff also might have been like rabbit fur when it first came out.
I mean, all I know is it was.
She had a really good nightgown too.
Yeah. No, her house coat, also her I think it was her tea dress, original tea dress with the white lace and the pink.
The pinafore.
Yeah. I mean, that, guys, Samantha ate it
up. Unreal. Yeah.
I'm giving her an A minus.
I'm giving her an A.
Okay.
Because if you're not going to be able to bring a lot of like your own traumatic backstory to the table, you really should be helping others. And Samantha was helping others.
She was a philanthropist.
She was a philanthropist and she was serving look after look after look. She never took a day off of dressing for success.
Except for Christmas.
Except for Christmas. But, and I'm going to blame someone else for that.
Okay. All right. I'm doing an A minus only because just what my heart is feeling at the
moment. That's fine. You got to go with what you got to go with what you feel.
And now we're on to the third of the big three, the original three, the OGs of the AGs, Molly McIntyre.
Molly was living in 1944, peak World War II vibes. This was like wartime era. I remember reading about this and like how they had to ration butter and sugar and like rubber and stuff and being like, what? This is crazy. And her dad was away.
At World War II. I remember learning about World War II via these stories.
Yeah. And
she was a little androgynous, too.
She was. She was a bit of a tomboy. She rocked separates.
And pants.
Mm-hmm. And she had glasses, which was
an outlier.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Molly was the doll that I instructed my sister to get because I was like, I like her, but I don't love her. But right. I definitely want to be able to check in with her every once in a while.
Of course. You want to say hello.
Yeah. But like Samantha and Kirsten are my girls. And then like Molly lives in the other room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I loved Molly's books. The Molly Saves the Day book when she's at summer camp was my favorite of all the books.
That
my
was
number one favorite story.
One of the best American Girl like adventures.
So good.
In the entire history of the girls. She has to play capture the flag. She goes to camp. She's like up again. There's like some camp bully that's like mean, some other mean girl.
A Regina George.
Yeah. They have to play like there's a huge camp wide game of capture the flag that's like high stakes. And Molly dumps. She like figures out how to like canoe in a way where she can like sneak on to where this like Regina George girl is. She pours a can of worms on her head and like steals the flag. She like kind of is like compromising her own morals. It was a little bit like, how far will you go to win?
So far.
But it was like she did the right thing. It was like, it was just great. It had
so
it
good.
All. Mm-hmm. I resented Molly for having straight hair. And like not being able to have hair that held a curl.
But wasn't that an important plot point to her entire lore in that she curled her hair?
She curled her hair to get ready for a tap recital because she was going to be in like the dance recital.
Right.
And she like finally figured out this like really hard way to get like pin curls. And then she...
It was not using the American Girl accessory. Curler
no, and that also pissed me off where I was like, oh, Molly can never have the hair that she's speaking of in this book. Like, you're just going to have to deal with, like, braids and bangs, Molly. And I wanted, like, disco hair, Molly.
Of course.
So she does, like, a test run on the curls. Then, day of show, she gets the curls, it sleeps with them. She has to sleep with wet hair. And then, like, you take them out and when it's dry... But because she was sleeping with wet hair, she got a cold. So she couldn't participate in the dance competition or show. And she has to stay home while everyone else has a great time.
But then
her dad comes home from the war and she's the first person to get to see him. So it all worked out.
It all worked out.
And that's also what I loved is like just when you think it can't get in, like, when you're like, it can't go on anymore, like it's too sad, it's the pendulum swings back in the other direction.
That's
There's
great
like a
storytelling.
Modicum of hope.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think just overall, I'm just perusing her Christmas look. She has a doll that's a nurse. She has a paint set. She has the book Fantasia and a snow globe and a radio. I mean, hello. and a stocking. Hello.
Yeah, she had some yo-yo. Good stuff.
I mean, what?
I liked her accessories. I definitely loved her nurse doll. I think I actually loved her nurse doll more than I loved Molly. And I might have taken that nurse doll and it became one of Kirsten or Samantha's dolls.
Switching it up.
Yeah. But Molly's like basic looks, like I liked her meat look. But then the other ones, I was like, I'm neither here nor there.
Yeah.
On the Christmas or on the school, even though the plaid jumper and blouse is cute.
The meat look.
But I didn't think that at the time.
It's a really strong first impressions look.
Yeah. At the time, it didn't resonate with me, but in retrospect, but I'm
now,
like, this is everything.
Yeah, I love it.
Better outfits, in my opinion, were like the ones that weren't like the three basic ones. It was like her Halloween hula costume.
Classic.
That like blew my mind. And then her victory costume, her little like dance performance leotard, I was also like, this is cute. I wanted her to go in a more femme direction. And she would do it for some events.
She'd dip in.
Yeah. And like she had a birthday pinafore dress that I thought was really cute.
And the pants and the flannel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was just
pajamas.
Like busting the norms of the AG universe.
Yeah.
And that I tip my hat. So I'm actually going to give her an A.
I'm going to give her a B plus.
Okay. I like it when we disagree.
Mm-hmm,
I think
too.
It's good.
It's important.
It adds depth.
To have dialogue.
Yeah.
Next up, this is the one that you had.
This is the one that I still have to this day. Mm-hmm. I think it's at my parents' house. So my origin story of getting Felicity was my 9th birthday. And obviously I've been obsessing over this catalog by now for at least 4 years.
Yeah.
And I think all of my friends had American Girls by then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the last to the party. And I get Felicity on my birthday. I get her meat look and her birthday look. And I'm also got her birthday book for the birthday. And I'm reading the book on my birthday that I had just received. So it's the Felicity birthday book. It's on my birthday. And suddenly I come to a page that says her birthday is in April. I'm like, oh my God, no way. It's April right now. And then I keep reading and it reveals that Felicity's birthday is, I know, take a deep breath. Felicity's birthday is April 21st, which is my exact birthday.
This is fucking crazy.
As a human that moves through life looking for synchronicities, this was sort of the impetus of that for me. And also as a human who is an only child, who unfortunately sort of views the world as if it's revolving around them at times, I've worked through it. But as a small child, that just really led to the data.
How
went
could
to
you
the data.
Not feel like the world doesn't revolve? Like there's no other option when that kind of synchronicity is at play.
Felicity and I have the same birthday. It's on.
Mm-hmm.
The world is my oyster. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm the star of the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Full on.
Yeah. The original main character syndrome patient zero is you on your 9th birthday reading the Felicity birthday book and being like, wait, me? Yeah.
Hand raised.
I love
exactly.
It. So Felicity was released in 1991. So she came out a few years after these girls. I remember it was such a big deal because she had red hair and that was just a really big deal.
Yeah. And I weirdly, my favorite Barbie had red hair too.
You liked a ginge.
I liked a ginge. As I've told you before, I went through a phase in high school where I dated like 4 different redheaded guys.
Wow. You
so
have
like
a thing for gingers.
Thing.
Did you have like a huge crush on Prince Harry?
No.
Mm.
I'm not a royals girl.
But never even was like, oh my God, he's so hot.
I think he was the hotter of the two.
Yeah, but you didn't have like a moment. Where
no,
you were,
but
like,
I have a red mini poodle. So
a
I think that really just.
This is the Felicity aftermath.
Exactly.
The ripple effect.
Exactly.
So Felicity is from 1774. She grew up in Virginia, pre-Revolutionary War era. The big thing to know about her is that she's a huge horse girl.
Horsey girl.
Like obsessed with horses.
Which is so weird because I was not like that.
I wasn't like that growing up. And I realize now that's why I was like kind of, I was like, all right, like Felicity, like, you know, I'm like lukewarm on the whole thing.
You know what it was for me with Felicity? It was the bell sleeves.
She did have a gorgeous dress.
Yeah.
And like, I was intrigued, but I was also like, I've been burned by Kirsten. I feel like this is like a farm vibe to it. And like, I need something more.
Yeah.
And I certainly need more of a backstory than what you have going on.
I don't even remember anything about Felicity's books at all.
I think that's intentional. I think we've all collectively as a culture forgotten about Felicity's journey, because as I was doing some reading and catching up on old Felicity, I realized she has some problematic elements of her past, and she's been discontinued. I think Mattel got, I don't think after, let me put it this way, don't think after the summer of 2020, I think Felicity's canceled.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why.
Please do.
I was reading about her, and I guess, so she loved horses. She learned to ride horses on her grandfather's plantation that she visits often in the books, which I was like, off the bat, no. You don't get to just like go have fun with the horses on your grandfather's plantation. And then her family also owned two slaves.
Felicity.
Felicity. My God. And there, I was like going even further into like the Felicity accessories. And I guess there was one accessories bundle that was called the Plantation Playset that was introduced in 1992 and then retired in 2001. So it had like a 9-year run of selling this like $22 playset that was like a jar, and like it was not good.
That was a miss for Felis.
Mm-hmm.
We have to say.
She saved, I guess her big trauma was like, do you remember her like saving an abused horse?
Yes.
Okay. She saved it from somebody named Jiggy Nye. Which I don't know. I didn't look into this, but I feel I'm just like, this sounds weird to me. Sounds treacherous. Sounds like there's not a lot of good excuses for Felicity.
No.
She has insurrection vibes at
Where
best.
Was she on January 6th?
Yeah.
Is the question. The
I think bonnet, she's riding a horse.
The bonnet is giving.
It's a little bit, it's creepy. It, when you start to look at her accessories and then you know her backstory, you're getting like a really dark colonial energy.
Major.
Huge colonial, like Christian, daughters of the revolution. It's a real stain on her history.
Yeah, I'm now feeling a little icked out by my one AG was Felis.
It's really sad too, because her looks are serving.
It was only going on aesthetics. That was all. Yeah. That's what I led with, and really still do for that matter.
I know. Like the Christmas gown, this impeccable.
So good with that extra piece that like with the pink bows that you could add on.
Her meat look was gorgeous. The bell sleeve. She had like a Paul Revere kind of look.
So good.
And like she had another Christmas gown. She had like she had one that was like red, one was blue. I mean, all the looks are serving, but unfortunately the lore
is cringing.
The lore is cringing. I will give her a C minus, and I'm only doing that because of the looks and the fact that you could also get a horse.
Okay. Yeah. I think where I'm at for Felicity, so I'm just looking over her spring gown and pinner apron, which was from her birthday. And that was a look that I had. I only had
meat
look
so
and
pretty.
The spring gown and the pinner apron because my parents were abusive towards me.
Mm-hmm. They clearly did not
hated
care about
me.
You. That's neglect. Did they even bother to get you Posy the Lamb?
Definitely not. No. In fact, I had like off market accessories. From a place I'm from Michigan, from a place in downtown Birmingham. If you guys couldn't tell by my delightful Midwestern drawl that comes out once in a while, there was a place in Birmingham, Michigan called Adventures in Toys,
mm-hmm.
still around to this day. And they had like stuff that could fit American Girl dolls, but weren't from the brand.
Were they like local artisan made?
I have no idea where they were from, but I had, you know how some of the dolls have like the trunk, like how Samantha and Molly have that cool ass trunk.
Mm-hmm.
I had a trunk for Felicity that was rose, like a tea rose pink.
Wow.
With these tiny little hangers, much like the hangers that you can get on AG. And it was the coolest, most special thing.
That's like a great option if you are an adult and you don't want to shell out like $1,000 to get your kid all accessories. Felicity's bed was so good too. I remember this like bed and being like, I need to just get this bed?
Upholstered awning on the bed.
Mm-hmm. She had a 4-post bed. Yeah, that was good.
Her dark wood furniture that I'm just looking over, which is a lot of furniture. It's like old grandma furniture.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that
was the vibe.
Makes sense, yeah.
And like people still have furniture like that in their houses.
Felicity.
Oh, Felicity. We'll forgive you, but we'll never forget.
But you know what? Luckily, the AG Universe course corrected with their next doll.
I'm like, okay, so they introduced this girl. They introduced the idea of like slavery, really like soft launched the idea because they're like, this adorable girl, you love her. She does have slaves, but like she's a good person, but she also is a slave owner. And you're like, okay, like I don't know. Like,
and you think there was, I like to imagine there was a board meeting like post the Felicity launch and they're like, okay, so now that we've introduced the idea,
launched the slave owning American Girl doll
with a heart of gold,
to not really have a problem with it. I'm shocked that even was like a thing. I guess if you're going in this era, you have to be true to the era,
right?
But it just seems like, couldn't you just not own slaves during that time?
Luckily, the conversation would be different now.
Yeah,
and I think that shows growth.
And Felicity's no longer with us, so...
And R.I.P. Felicity.
Yeah, R.I.P. Felicity. It was fun while it lasted. But this next American Girl doll was the last American Girl doll that I had. I thought I was done with American Girl dolls. Like, I thought nothing could come that would ignite the flame of need and make me have to go back to the drawing board and circle more things in the catalog.
In 1993, Addie Walker came on the scene.
She burst onto the scene. She was the first Black American Girl doll. She is from 1864. In the first Meet book, you meet Addie and her family. They are enslaved. And then they...
On a cotton plantation.
Yeah, in North Carolina. She and her mom have to leave her baby sister behind, and she and her mom like flee and make a run for it and like find a way to escape. They go to the North, they live in Philadelphia, and then like slowly over the course of the books, her other family, like she's reunited with family, but it's not like a quick one and done thing. It's like a long
journey.
She doesn't even get back with her little baby sister, Esther. They lose track of where she is and then have to find her later. And Esther's 2 years old when they're reunited in like the final book. It's truly like
the Addie books,
heart wrenching,
were so intense and so good.
Yeah. The raw commitment to like accurately representing what it was like,
the perils of slavery.
Yeah.
In they got
very,
into
like,
it.
Honest way to a young person. Cause there were multiple scenes of like abuse at the hands of these like owners and the other like plantation hands. And when I was going through her history, I was like remembering like, oh my God, like there was this scene and that scene. And it was just like, holy fuck. But it's safe to say
her accessories slapped.
So true. And I was just going to say, safe to say that out of all the girls, Addie had the most drama and trauma and backstory to overcome. So as a lover of just like the backstory and the origin story, she's like ahead of the curve.
Yeah, without a doubt. And to be honest, her Meet Addie look, it's like I would wear that dress now.
Same. It's like Doane.
Yeah.
It's Christy Dawn. It's a little Batshiva. It's like
Upcycled.
It's upcycled. Yeah. It's a vintage look that's been upcycled and sold to you at a premium cost. So Addie also was the first American Girl doll to have earrings. And that also was like when I zeroed in on those earrings, because they're fully built into her ear.
They're so good.
Yeah. She changed everything for me.
I love her Christmas look. As I said, I used to mix and match accessories. And I had a few, actually, believe it or not, branded American Girl accessories. And I had her needlework kit and lamp.
Ooh, yeah. From she had a really
Christmas
good.
Story, mm-hmm. which was you could actually needlepoint the apron.
Yeah.
And I used to walk around the house with the lamp like I was playing olden days.
I loved that lamp.
Sorry, I had to.
No, I love it. I had her bed and her family album quilt, which was like a handmade, tiny,
stunning
doll size patchwork quilt, and her trunk.
Oh, you had the Addie's Sweet Dream collection.
Mm-hmm. And I had, did I have her ice cream set? No, but she did. She was a big fan of sweet potato pie. And I do think I had like the pieces of sweet potato pie.
Oh, yeah. They had a pudding kit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the meat look was on fire. She also had a shell, like a single puka shell on a necklace that like was the perfect accessory to the meat look. And her bonnet and everything. Tony just farted. Did you hear that?
I thought it came out the front end, not the back, but good
it
to
was
know.
Like a soft little fart.
Good to know.
But no, Addie, like even her doll had earrings. So I'm just saying like,
They were stepping it up.
Everything was stepped up. And Addie's an A+ American Girl doll.
I agree. I think her Christmas look is exactly what I want to see from a Christmas look that I think mm-hmm. Molly's was really lacking.
And even her school look is really chic. It separates like a little tiny blue jacket with the blue skirt and the fluffy like white shirt underneath.
Cutest school bag.
Yeah. It's true to the time and the era, but not sacrificing fashion. Addie's not boring at all. She has a lot going on. She's like overcome so much.
So chic.
And is being chic. Like you cannot lose with Addie. And you're getting an important history lesson at the same time.
Crucial history
She's
lesson.
She's firing on all cylinders. And that, it's an A+ for me.
It's an A. I don't think I'm doling out any A+s this round.
Wow. Yeah.
That's just the mood I'm in today.
I love that, though. You have high standards.
Did you ever go to the American Girl Cafe?
I did when I moved to Los Angeles. Okay. I went with a few friends. We had brunch there one day.
Chic.
And it was really fun.
I once saw Suri Cruz there in like peak Suri Cruz era.
Wow.
I think she was probably like 3 years old.
That's me.
And I was like, that. You know, do you guys remember when she was like on the cover of In Touch, like on a regular basis?
Yeah.
That was the sighting at the American Girl Cafe at the Grove. What?
That's crazy.
She was with Katie Holmes's mom with the grandma, which of course I clocked at the time and recognized because I'm a special person.
It's always really weird when you see a non-celebrity that is somehow related to the celebrity, and that's how you end up clocking the celebrity.
Oh yeah, no, that happened with like, Jessica Simpson's mom at the Bowery Hotel in New York City. I was like, Jessica Simpson is staying at this hotel, that's her mom, and I was right, which is cool and sad.
Yeah, I've had that cool and sad moment too. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, that's Charlize Theron's mom. And that's Charlize. And like, it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You need to cool really and sad pump the brakes.
Is life.
Yeah. So, damn. I also just remembered that Suri Cruz's like first widely circulated baby photo was just her being on the cover of Vanity Fair.
That's
which
right.
is a crazy thing to like I have know. As your own lore.
Suri Cruz, the evolution of American Girl doll.
Okay, so I have some pitches for future American Girl dolls.
Please.
I would love anyone at Mattel, if you're listening, hire us because we will get boots on the ground with this
shit.
Oh,
yeah.
I think Suri Cruz would be a really good American Girl doll.
I think so, too. Royalty.
Yeah.
Her origin story?
Unreal. Talk about an origin story.
Starting with Oprah and couch jumping. Hello.
Yeah. her origin story begins before she even does. And also like being able to like get out of Scientology. I think you use Suri as the blueprint, but we need a Scientologist escapee American girl doll.
Yeah. That's a really
that's important. Mm-hmm. Salem Witch Trials, American Girl Doll. 1692, I think that would be a great thing to explore.
Yes.
I think the fashions, the backstory, a lot of trauma. You can have someone burning to death.
Talk about bell sleeves.
Yeah.
You're going to get those.
You have a little bit of mysticism, a little bit of magic, a huge misogyny conversation that can take place. I think also with social media the way it is right now and these kids all tattling on each other, it's a really good lesson. I think Salem Witch Trials, that's American Girl, one. Would just knock it out of the park.
Green light.
I would love like a grunge 90s American Girl.
Like a Seattle.
Like a Courtney Love kind of American Girl.
Like a vintage lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
Starbucks.
She could be in a band.
For sure in a band.
She is
flannel,
in a band. Yeah.
A garage band. Mm-hmm. That they started. None of this like reaching fame via your online platform thing. No, it's like discovered at the local alt-rock cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As right. like a teenager.
Yeah.
Totally. Or she's just learning, but you know later in life, like she's just forming the band and like maybe meeting, like maybe she's meeting older guys to like be in the band, or there's like stuff you can do. Someone can have like a heroin problem, maybe one of her parents.
Necessary.
Yeah.
Like, and then I think there's an early aughts Los Angeles one.
Exactly.
There's a Juicy Couture Terry moment.
2007 to 2009 or like
there's
2005.
There's an Adderall problem. Mm-hmm. There's boho accessories.
There's rehab.
For sure. And mm-hmm. a ton of paparazzi.
Yeah.
And Pinkberry.
Yeah. And lying about your age to get into Hyde.
Definitely.
These are solid really gold American Girl doll picks.
An ombre highlight.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
I can't wait. Yeah, I mean, there's so much more to get into. We left off at the point where you could customize your doll and pick the hair color and the eye color to match yours. There was the baby dolls that they had. They also came
Bitty
out with
babies.
Bitty babies.
It took a lot as an adult not to buy a bitty baby. I'm going to say that, and I'm not going to explain it any
I'm
further.
I'm proud of you for not.
Me too.
I think that's a big step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then they actually came out with like Know Your Body books about puberty.
Oh, I love that.
Under the American Girl umbrella. So they were really like aging with their audience. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. They've done a lot of good things. They've done a lot of bad things. But I think it's a net positive.
Here's what I'll say. I think that there was to go back.
Me saying that as like someone that had three.
You're like, it's good,
American
right?
Girl dolls. I'm like, I think it was a great thing.
I think
thing.
The purpose of this haul today was to give a nod and an homage to the specialness of getting that catalog in the mail and having our horizons expanded by learning about interesting times in American history and the fashions that went with it. And for that, I will say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I think we got in at the right time where the quality was so high, and I still have my American Girls waiting
for you.
For me, I'm going home for the holidays. I do see myself pulling them out of the closet and playing with them. And also, I just am realizing like I would love to have more square footage. That's the biggest takeaway from Too Niche so far, is that we need a lot more square footage.
For sure.
All right, cool. Well,
thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Bye. Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shanehals and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok @this_is_too_niche.